Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Making our way to the top of the mountain, 1 hour to go, and then we are dead center of the work week, and after that, we start to cruise slowly. We move slowly downhill, and then we pick up speed. It gets to be Wednesday night, then it gets to be a Thursday night into a Friday. Boom, baby. This weekend is going to be so productive on my end. Is it? Are you allowed to say this weekend when it's Tuesday night, Wednesday morning?
Yeah, I think once you're in the hump.
Am I allowed to talk about the weekend yet? Oh, my goodness. I have so much yard work to do, and I actually get to be social. I'm having dinner with a friend. I haven't done that in a while just because of the craziness of the last 5 weeks, but also because Bob is gone all weekend. He is unavailable. He's got family plans, graduation, Mother's Day, blah, blah, blah. He's not available from Thursday evening through Sunday evening. Now, will I miss him? Absolutely. Will I miss being on the phone as much? Shoot, he's going to hear that. He's absolutely going to take that personally. Uh-oh. Yeah, we might have to take that out of the podcast. Could you know? It's okay if it's live on the air. Just, if you could take it out of the podcast, please.
I'll try and remember.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, my time on the phone has drastically increased in the past 9 weeks. Speaking of that, guess what I did, Producer Jay?
When was this?
In the last 2 weeks. Guess what major change I made to my technical accessories? I think I told you this.
I think you did. Mm-hmm. You didn't get an Apple, did you?
No.
Nothing Apple, right?
OMG. I thought you knew me. What is that about? The only Apple product I have is an orange iPod Nano that's at least 15 years old, but I still use it when I'm running. That's the only Apple product I will ever own ever again. In fact, if Bob owns Apple products, he's going to have to sell them before we would ever move on to the next stage of our lives.
Can't be an Apple house? Not even a half Apple house?
No, not a half an Apple house. No, no Apple houses. Nope. Also, he doesn't like cats. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh.
I don't think Sugar's going anywhere. So
No, Sugar's grandfathered in. She's part of the family. Hmm. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What major upgrade? I told you about this in the last 2 weeks.
And would these be your new not AirPods, I guess.
They're not AirPods, but they are wireless earbuds.
Bluetooth wireless earbuds, yeah.
Yeah, now the thing is, we can't use them on the air, obviously, because the studio is not Bluetooth equipped. And so I still do use earbuds that are wired and plugged into our console here in the studio. So I always do have multiple sets of earbuds, but they're wired. They're not wireless. They're wired. Okay, so I need them for work. I also then use those to go running with the wire, and I was using the wired headphones, non-wireless. I guess we could call them non-wireless earbuds. I was using them on the train as I was making my way to the Prudential Center for Devils Hurricanes a few hours ago. Do you know, I saw a Gen Zer with headphones that had wires.
Whoa.
What do you think of that?
Whoa.
Everyone else has wireless. I was using my wired headphones, and I was thrilled to find a kindred spirit in, he looked to be a college student. He was also heading to the Devils Hurricanes game. And so, yeah, I don't know if that makes me cooler. Probably not.
This is a Gen Z thing.
It is. Maybe it is a Gen Z thing. And then I had this revelation shared with me on social. Okay, so what I did put on my Twitter page is that I'm always feeling a sense of validation when I do actually catch some other human using earbuds or headphones that have wires. The majority of people that ran in the half marathon with me, all wireless.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay, but what happens if it falls out? Then you have to stop and pick it up.
For sure.
If it's on a wire, it's still attached to you.
Precious seconds.
Okay, but this is what I put on Twitter, that I always feel validated when I see someone else using non-wireless headphones in public. And today it was a guy in his 20s. So fewer and fewer of us are on the island, but at least there's a cool kid on the island, right? I'm not at all super cool. But what someone wrote back to me, which I actually feel as though it makes my case even stronger for wired headphones. Dan says, when a wired earbud falls out of your ear, it hangs instead of hitting the floor and landing under something. Gross. I mean, these days, now I am the person that as long as the food's not on the floor for 5 seconds, I'll generally pick it up and eat it. Not at work, though, because it's gross in here.
A little bit.
Right, a little bit gross. However, that's a good point. And so I was thinking about the half marathon and the number of people that could accidentally have their wireless earbuds fall out of their ears. When I use my new ones, I only use them for talking on the phone. I don't use them for music or podcasts or anything like that. But I do like to be able to put the phone down and walk around with my wireless headphone in. And the reason I had to buy them is because I washed my Bluetooth. Whoopsie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it didn't work after that.
Did you try rice?
It was waterlogged. Nah, it was old. So instead I ordered, they're just $20. They're actually pink. They're metallic pink. Oh, yeah. And they have a pretty good sound. I can't figure out how to hang up on the call, though. I accidentally hang up on the call. And then when I try to hang up on the call with a wireless earphone, I can't figure out how to do it. But also, they fall out. They fall out sometimes.
They don't fit in your ear?
They do fit in my ear, but every now and then my hair gets caught in them or you know, something pulls that out on accident. So then they fall on the floor. So see, this is the benefit of having your earbuds attached to a wire.
They're not going anywhere. I mean, if you're running that race, honestly, for running, I feel like I could see the benefit of the wireless, but if you're in like a race situation like that, where there's a bunch of people around you, it's cluttered. Like you said, there was other people, there were strollers.
It could fall on the ground and get run over.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, I'm still good with the wired. I have wired. And like I said, 20-year-old young man, he also had wired headphones on the train.
Are wired headphones now officially so far out that they're retro?
They're old school.
Are they cool
they're
again?
Retro.
Has it been that long?
They're back.
Wired headphones are back. What's it been? I don't even know.
Yeah. I've never Five stopped years? Using them because of what I use for work. I would never really consider anything else. Skull Candy, by the way, is my favorite brand. These wireless are good in the house, but they haven't yet left the house.
They sounded good. I mean, we talked the other night. You were wearing them. Good quality.
Actually, I only wear one. Am I supposed to wear two?
I actually only wear one also.
Oh, okay.
I don't. Yeah, two is like aggressive. Well, you gotta like be able to hear all the things.
But then you also can't hear out of the other ear. That's the part that's annoying. Is when both of them are in your ear, you can't hear what else is going on around you.
Yeah, I don't have mine. Aren't noise canceling either because I don't want that.
Mm-mm. No, I don't want to be oblivious of what's happening around me. That's how you get yourself shoved onto the subway train tracks. Or there's a bomb that goes off and you didn't have enough time to realize that it was there. Yeah, I know I watch too many crime dramas, but it happens a lot in crime dramas. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Jay's still laughing. Also on our Facebook page. I mean, the fact that I have a pair of wireless and they're in my house is, I would say, a step toward the majority of the populace. But me and the 20-year-old guy on the train, if he had looked up, I would have given him a thumbs up like, yo. Or like the pointing at my eyes and then pointing at his eyes.
Like a little nod up.
Yeah, that's
like I
right.
See you. Yeah.
Dap up. We are clearly the only two on the island. I didn't see anybody else on the train.
Probably not many. Minimum under five.
Five? On a train with thousands of people?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, over under 20.
Yeah, probably under 20 maybe. For sure. Our society, we're so trendy.
The wired sound better anyway.
They do sound better. Okay, so on Twitter, After Hours CBS, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You don't need to ask me that. You can also send them to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know that the Celtics-Sixers game requires a whole lot of analysis tonight.
Crowd getting on its feet. 9 to shoot. Harden around one man. He passes to House. House to the side. Maxey, three-pointer up. And good! Tyrese Maxey, the silencer. He nails a triple from the right side. And the crowd settles back down. Top of the key. Right-hand dribble. Collides with the defender. Back out to Joel Embiid shooting the three. It's good! Joel Embiid firing from long range. And he knocks down a three. Sixers 98. Boston 81. Embiid with four. He's going to have to shoot from the top of the key. Leaning over the right-hand dribble. Backs up. He lost it. Two straight. On the turns, here's Brown into the lane. Brown goes up, and B blocked it. Maxey saves it. Joel with an incredible defensive play. Oh, man, a layup by Jaylen Brown. Swatted. Tyrese with 12 to shoot. Speed dribble behind the back. Fires for three. Up and good. And the 76ers force Boston into a timeout. Under 4 minutes to go, and the lead has blossomed to 21.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Yeah, when I say that this game doesn't require a ton of in-depth analysis, it's because the Celtics were overwhelmed from the outset. The general reaction on social, and I was listening to the game initially because I was on a train, got home, was able to watch the rest, but the initial analysis is the Celtics, they had no energy. They were relatively lifeless compared to the Sixers. And on a night when they desperately needed the three-pointers to drop, that wasn't happening. And so the Sixers not only grab control, and I mean wrestle control away from the Celtics in the last two games, but now they sit one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. First time in Joel Embiid's career that he's been one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals, from busting through that glass ceiling that really has capped the progress of the Sixers. This version of the Sixers, it's been the second round and done. Not one and done, but two and done. But this was a game in which it was all hands on deck for the Sixers. We saw contributions from everywhere. Yes, spurred on by Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and James Harden, but everybody got involved. The offense, the energy, the aggressiveness, certainly the enthusiasm, oh, the winning. It was all contagious for the Sixers on this night. And the Celtics had no answers. Now, they did get their standard 30-something from Jason Tatum, and they did get double figures from both Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. But the Celtics did not shoot well. It actually reminded me of the way the Warriors played against the Lakers down the stretch in their last game. So remember, the Warriors had a double-figure lead late third quarter. And then when they desperately needed a bucket to stop the Lakers' run, they could not buy one to save their lives. Now, I don't love the fact that the Celtics kept shooting from deep. They weren't hitting them, and they kept shooting them anyway. I say try higher percentage shots, but this is the NBA today. Fire away. Bombs away. It doesn't matter how many you miss. If you make one, well, then it validates the fact that you should continue shooting them from beyond the arc.
It's a shoot-around.
The Celtics' defense, this is a lot more like what we saw against the Hawks. They were chasing. They weren't staying in front. They weren't rotating well. And then how about this? Al Horford, no points. As in, no points. And this is an example of what I'm talking about. He's a big man. Now, I know he can shoot threes, but it should not be his number one shot. He took 7 shots, all of them from three-point land, and made none of them. So why would you keep shooting them? You are a big man. You're officially a center in the NBA. Go act like one. Oh, my goodness. Listen to these plus minus numbers for the Celtics. This is how bad it was for their starting lineup. Minus 26 for Jason Tatum. Minus 18 for Al Horford. It's actually kind of low in my opinion. Minus 17 for Marcus Smart. Minus 15 for Jaylen Brown. This is a mess for them tonight. But give all the credit to Doc Rivers and the Sixers. And the fact that they had multiple options. And their MVP set the tone. He set the tone with 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 block shots, 3 assists. Joel Embiid was everywhere. Funny, too, if you watch the game, how many of his shots seem to hit the rim and then drop through or circle around and then drop through. They got just the right spin. They just got the right roll. I mean, his shots aren't always pretty. But the Sixers were getting the friendly rolls while the Celtics were not. And so they put everything out there in game number 5 looking for this advantage.
Coming in here, game 5, you got to do whatever it takes. You know, and sometimes, you know, we're all human beings, and sometimes you need to be reminded, myself included. Sometimes I need, you know, people around me to remind me, you know, the job I got to do. You know, that's the way I lead, by, you know, pushing my teammates, you know, positively and negatively, too. You know, they just got to understand, like, you know, I just, you know, we just got the best interest I heard. You know, we just trying to win. Whatever it takes to win, that's what we're going to do.
I'm going to give a shout out to the big fella, Joel, because the last 2 years, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's been focused. He's been in the MVP conversation. He's been dominant. But this year, as soon as we got to Charleston in training camp, I just noticed his leadership just grow. And when your best player is a great leader, and Tuck has been on about leading, of course, and it's great to have Peter Tucker as well. But, like, when your best player is adamant about winning and adamant, and he's on his teammates and he's calling his teammates out and he's, you know, he's leading by example, you have to raise your level of intensity. If you're a leader, your best player is working his tail off and, you know, being aggressive and going out there and performing every single night, you have to fall in line. And I think this team, we know that, and we have done that pretty well.
Tyrese Maxey has been a revelation in these playoffs. He really has turned into, would you call him the third option? Tobias Harris is in the mix as well. So they have a variety of ways. I said this last round about the Sixers, a variety of ways that they can hurt their opponents. But when Tyrese Maxey's putting up 30, doesn't even need to be 30. When he's a scoring option, man, they become so much more difficult to clamp down. Doc Rivers, though, whew. He was not sure at the beginning.
Our first three possessions were horrendous of the game. Like, I think the first three times anybody touched it, they shot it. And I was literally about to call a timeout. And then the next possession, the ball, bam, 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 guy got a three, and we were off to playing right. And we played right from that point on.
They were a good team. Like, duh. You know, we control what we can control. And tonight was one of the things that was our mindset coming into this game. Like, we control our own destiny. And, you know, whether it's the Joel coming back from game 2 or, you know, the game 3 loss, like, that's past us. You know what I mean? Like, we find things to get better at every single day. We watch film. We communicate with each other. And we go out there and try to be better for each other. And as a team that's trying to compete for something special, that's all you can ask for. You know, unselfish. Like, we know who we are. We know, obviously, we have the MVP on our team. And then everybody else just kind of figure it out. And whether that's me scoring the basketball or whether that's me facilitating or whether that's me doing a little bit of both. And then, you know what I mean, everybody else just figures it out. So tonight was a prime example of that.
Lots of happy, happy, joy, joy, sunshine and roses right now for the Philadelphia 76ers. This was, if not their best performance of the playoffs, pretty darn near close. If it wasn't number one, it was 1A. What does that say about the Celtics? Well, according to Joe Mazzulla, it was their worst game of the postseason.
It looks like dodo birds tonight.
Oh, dear. Wait until you hear what he has to say, but also what Marcus Smart said. And Celtics fans booing their team. After game 5, booing them. In the first round of the playoffs, I highlighted the Celtics' defense or lack thereof multiple times. I felt like they were giving up way too many points to the Atlanta Hawks. Well, it came back to bite them, that poor defense, on their own court in a pivotal game five. Did you know, in a tie series that's best of seven, 83% of the time the winner of game five goes on to advance? It was a tie series. The winner of game five tonight, Denver and Philadelphia. Now the odds are ever in their favor. 83% of the time, the winner of game five in a tie series that's best of seven goes on to advance. These teams have put themselves in an incredible position. We'll hear from the Celtics straight ahead. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, our Facebook page, man, you're blowing it up with your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also, poor Ethan. He sends me this tweet. I work 16-hour nights quite often. It's not easy. So, well, we're in the same boat, Ethan. Thanks for the empathy. Who is your favorite NBA player to hate? He says, I have a long list of players I root against. Westbrook and Carmelo. I mean, Carmelo's not even playing anymore. Westbrook, he's done. But how about this? Harden, Embiid. Oh, it's a tough night to be Ethan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Tonight, there was nothing questionable about it. The Sixers were due for a big game. They were due for a dominant performance. They were due for a game that matched the regular season they had after the Sixers had been dominated by the Celtics for four games. But the Boston Celtics, who have dug holes for themselves year after year, series after series, have done it again. They saved their worst offensive performance of the year for the biggest night of the year, and they now trail the Eastern Conference semifinals 3-2.
Everything went wrong. They made every right play. They made every hustle play. Everything went wrong for us that can go wrong.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One succinct assessment by point guard Marcus Smart. Everything went wrong. Everything that possibly could went wrong. And the Celtics, while I wouldn't say they were never within striking distance, it never felt like they were a serious threat to the Sixers. Producer Jay, would you agree with that? So I was listening. You were watching. I didn't feel like they had the oomph, the pop, the energy. Really, the shooting was off. I never felt like they got close enough to threaten the Sixers in this particular game.
Yeah, that's what I was watching. Like, the shooting was off. They were really just kind of like a step behind the whole game. It never really felt like they started the game, if you will.
Mm. Sean Grandy with a call on the Celtics radio network. Interesting, because that's what I was hearing from a bunch of people at Prudential Center after the second period between the Devils and the Hurricanes. A couple people in the elevator were making comments about how they didn't come out of the locker room for the second period. So we'll get to that game coming up. My assessments, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Joe Mazzulla, well, he's pretty sure this is the worst they've played in the postseason so far.
That was our first really, really bad game of the playoffs. And so it doesn't come at necessarily the best time, but we just have to shift our perspective and get ready for the next game. We tried to play hard. I thought we tried to play the right way, especially on the offensive end. I thought we got a lot of good looks early that didn't fall, and theirs did. And then I think when you're in that situation, you're just trying to win it back. And so, like I said, it's the first time that we just didn't play well, and we just got to regroup and get ready for the next game.
Unnecessary fouls. Got in a little bit of foul trouble as well. And kind of just threw our rhythm off. And we got to be able to get stops and guard a lot better than we did tonight. It just seemed like the door just went open. It just seemed like we couldn't get nothing going. And every game got its own story. That's the beauty of basketball. So I believe in my guys. So I think that we can come out and be inspired to play next game.
Jaylen Brown, giving you a laundry list of what went wrong for the Boston Celtics in game number five at home, actually. They shot under 40% from the field and lowest total points since the postseason began. So when Joe Mazzulla says this was their worst game of the playoffs, this is as bad as it's been so far. I love how he says, wasn't necessarily the best time. Oh, okay. Game five of a tie series. The winner goes on to advance 83% of the time. You're at home. You just gave up your home court advantage. Not necessarily the best time.
Doesn't come at necessarily the best time?
No, I would say that's an understatement. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Celtics definitely struggled against the Sixers' zone defense, and certainly Joel Embiid active on both ends of the court. This is one of the reasons why he is the MVP, because it's not just about the offense. It's also about the defense, the four blocks for him, but he alters shots as well. Meanwhile, the Sixers, they were feasting. They shot better than 50% from the floor. That Celtics defense that was such a critical piece, really the foundation of their run to the NBA Finals a year ago, it has not been there. I didn't love the way they played defense against the Hawks, and it deserted them, or they weren't committed to it in this game number five. And they heard it from the fans. They were actually booed at TD Garden by Celtics fans.
We've got booed before, so it's not anything new. We're just able, we've been in that position before, and
is he laughing?
You know, we didn't play well today. You know, fans could see it. You guys saw it, and we know that.
So Jason Tatum sounds like he's laughing, but I'm going to give him credit. I'm sure he's not laughing because it's funny. I'm going to say this is along the same lines of what Julius Randle said after game number five against the Heat. So Knicks forward Julius Randle, when he said maybe they wanted it more. No, I think he's really just being a smart aleck. Little tongue in cheek there. I am the queen of awkward laughs, and actually so is Bob. Oh, it's the worst. I'll say something really serious and Bob will start laughing. That's not funny. Why are you laughing? We've had a couple of misunderstandings, shall we call them, over the fact that Bob has laughed at the worst possible times. Right. I mean, if he laughed like Mike Tomlin, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But Bob is generally jovial, and there are times when I'm being serious and he laughs. It's not cool. It's not cool, Marco. It's not cool at all. I feel as though I, you know, need to not share anything ever with him ever again. In those moments.
All right. I feel like we went from 0 to 60 pretty quick right there.
Well, I mean, women do tend to go from 0 to 60. We tend to be a bit dramatic. And sometimes he says to me, stop being dramatic. I'm like, what? You don't get to, I can be dramatic if I want to. Anyway, we tease each other. We're pretty playful. So my point was that I am the queen of awkward laughing. I laugh sometimes when I'm nervous. I think Jason Tatum's not laughing because it's funny. He's laughing because it's, what are you going to do?
We're just able, we've been in that position before, and you know.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
No, I don't think that's a big deal. I disagree with the Randle one, though. I don't think that was tongue in cheek.
No.
No,
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No. I feel like that's one more. I don't know.
That's stupid. Yeah. No, why would you say that?
You got outplayed badly. And they did want it more.
Teams do get outplayed badly sometimes.
And they did want it more. So afterwards, when you say it the way he said it, I don't think that was tongue-in-cheek. I think he was speaking the obvious.
Okay, then hold on. So then what about Kevin Durant? Okay, so Kevin Durant, can you give me the Kevin Durant where he talks about game number six?
Yeah, I give credit to Denver. They came out and made shots to start at third, I think.
No.
We knew they were going to come out
number
and start 53. The game.
That's not 53.
It's about going out there and playing every possession like it's your last, really. You know, we've been seeing this team for 5 games now, and they've seen us, and so it's just all about who wants it more. Just keep stuff simple and play hard, man.
That's such a cliche. It's all about who wants it more?
No,
that's
but
dumb. They all want it just as badly as the guy next to them.
Yeah, but again, that's going into the actual words that he's using. What he's trying to say is basically, look, there's no secrets. We've seen each other. They know what we're doing. We know what they're doing. Now it's just basically going out there and who executes and who's going to wind up playing
better.
But he
said who wants it more.
I know,
so when
but
Julius
just,
Randle no, says it, why aren't we giving him the benefit
of
the doubt?
To me, that's just the wording of it. We say that all the time. It's a question of who wants it more. It's just
so maybe
throw
Randle
it out
was
there.
Doing the same thing.
Randle, after you get...
Are you yelling? Stop yelling at me.
Look, after you get embarrassed... You cannot walk out there and say, maybe they wanted it more than us.
That's what I mean. It's so ridiculous that it's got to be sarcasm.
I think you're giving him the benefit of the doubt, and good for you. I think you're the only one giving him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Especially when he was the culprit for how poorly they played defensively.
Well,
and the fact that they basically quit down the end of the game. They quit.
Well, let's be fair, the Heat were
dominating. But yes. You give up 7 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter alone, and Randall was a culprit on a lot of those.
Yes.
And then afterwards, they wanted it more than us.
Well, but again, that's what I feel like. No. There's no way he could have meant that seriously.
I think
he did. You get laughed out of town if you say that.
He did.
Of any town. Doesn't have to be New York.
Oh, yes. And I think he's hearing it. I don't think that was tongue-in-cheek. I think he was stating the obvious. I think he was embarrassed
by
the effort.
Except that you don't think Kevin Durant was being...
Because that's just wording of the, you know, they know what we're doing, we know what they're doing, it's just a matter of who wants it more. That's like a, you know, turf phrase.
It's a cliche.
Yeah, that's garbage.
But that's the
PR nonsense where you have to say whatever, you know, and just to get through the day.
But
Julius
Randle
was being honest.
Randle was doing the same thing. I think he was being honest. I disagree with that. I think he was being tongue-in-cheek because you hear that so often as an athlete. Oh, they wanted it more. And I don't think that's accurate. I think that's a stupid hot take, actually. They wanted it more.
Again, if that's coming from a talking head, sure, great. You could say that. That's coming from an athlete who just got his lunch handed to him.
Did I just get called a talking head?
No, because you didn't make that claim, did you? No. So if you didn't make the hot take, then you can't be the talking head.
No, I'm not a hot taker.
Again, to me, you get your lunch handed to you. 5 minutes later, you're going out there and saying, maybe they wanted it more than us. I think it was soul searching. I think he honestly meant it for himself and or worse, calling out one of his teammates.
Okay, but I think it was, I disagree with you. I think it was sarcasm because that's what they were going to hear. It's like, maybe they wanted it more. I don't think that's accurate. However, we can agree to disagree. That's what I love about Marco. We've been agreeing to disagree for 10 years.
That's fine.
And then he just yells over me because he's the one person in the room who's louder than me.
I will say, if that's the case and if that was the sarcasm, not only did you not know how to read the room and know the situation, you can't deliver sarcasm.
Well, nobody's accused him of being appropriate lately.
I mean, just brutal then. You can't read the room and you don't deliver the line properly. I mean, you whiffed all the way through.
And you're getting paid a whole lot of money and not being the superstar that you need to be. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with Randall. I just don't think he was being genuine in that moment. I think he was being a smartass because that's what he thought he was going to hear or they were going to hear about the Knicks not wanting it as badly as the Heat.
If that's the case, again, awful job by reading it then. Mm. And you know what? Maybe we talk to a PR guy before you hit the microphone then.
You think he'd listen?
You know what? If that's the answer that you're going to come up with, then stop and talk to somebody and see what they tell you should say. Because obviously whatever's going on in your head, wrong.
Well, again, this is Julius Randle we're talking about here.
Maybe they want it more. I don't know.
Okay. See what I mean? Every time I hear it, I think he was just being a, you know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, our show, Twitter, After Hours CBS. Send your questions for Ask Amy. We're now an hour away on The Hump Show.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Turnover. Meyer with a shot. He scores. Timo Meyer, as he did on Sunday, with the first goal, and the Devils take the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Not even 3 minutes into the hockey game I attended a few hours ago in Newark, New Jersey. The hometown Devils already had a goal on the board. Boy, it was quite a start. Now, that's a very short snippet of Matt Laughlin on Devils Radio. What you don't hear is the raucous atmosphere and the way that the fans were tuned up following that goal. Again, didn't even take 3 minutes. And as it turns out, it wasn't Timo Meyer, though he was in front of the net. It was Jack Hughes who got a stick on it. It gets in to the back of the net before 3 minutes elapse, and the Prudential Center is on fire. If you have not seen the video, I actually took a video of the place going nutso. It was a game in which the Devils had handed out white towels, rally towels, because the Devils were attempting to even the series against the Hurricanes in game number 4. That was the high note, but definitely check it out. Here, I'll even retweet it. It was pretty sweet. I sit up in what's called the halo, the press halo. So it's an open air press box, if you will. And it's a great perspective, not all the way up into the rafters, but you're high enough that you can see everything. And so I'm sending the video to friends, sent it to producer Jay, because it was pretty cool. The Prudential Center was rocking. He actually just said to me he'll put it on Facebook as well. Although it's kind of a moot point now because, as I say, that was the high note for the New Jersey Devils. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I'm seeing the goal right now, actually. Meyer from straight up top, and then Jack Hughes, his older brother, was able to get a stick in front and deflect it past the goalie. Now, the Hurricanes, once they found their footing, so initially those first few minutes, they looked overwhelmed by the pace and the speed of the Devils. We know the Devils are fast. That's one of their great advantages, is their speed. And they used it to force the issue. They had most of the quality chances. Once the Canes found their rhythm and found kind of their center, if you will, they were relentless. They were able to not only create a ton of chances in front of the net, but it seemed like from the late first period, and actually they had a power play late first period, into the entire second period, they were so good at keeping the puck in the zone. Four goals scored in just over 5 minutes. So the video that you will see on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook, if he puts it up, the video that you will see is as loud as it got inside the Prudential Center. About an hour and 15 minutes later, dead quiet. It is amazing. I think this only happens in sports arenas. It is amazing how quiet a group of thousands and thousands of fans can get. And it happens collectively, right? There's no sign that's needed. There's no collaboration. It's just devastation. And in this case, it was stunning how quickly it happened that the Devils were buried by the Hurricanes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We can hear it from the Kane's perspective, actually. It's a montage. Different voices calling the onslaught with the five goals in the second period.
Here's Slavin in front, and they score. And it's Natchez, who was just denied by Vanecek a moment ago, who finds some room in front, and Carolina's taking the lead.
Puck off a deflection. Chatfield, they're going to keep firing away, and they score. Fast makes it 4-1.
Here's Burns with the shot, and he scores.
Well, that's the end of it. Here comes Schmid. This one here, long shot, again, through traffic. You got to change the goalie, right, Matty?
Yeah.
At 5-1, 7:14 to go here in the second period.
Oh, they definitely changed the goalie. Devils radio, Canes radio, and then also you hear the call on, was that TNT? Or no, it was ESPN, right? No, there was a TV call in there. That was definitely a TV call. Anyway, so we had both radio calls as well as the TV call. Mixing it up, just giving you the perspective of the five-goal second period for the Carolina Hurricanes. And yeah, as you can imagine, Rob Rindamore is happy with the effort now that the Canes are back in front and in control 3-1.
We got to understand that we've been through this a little bit, which helps, and we understand that it goes like this sometimes, and it's always about how you're going to respond, and I think we did a great job of that tonight.
First 5 minutes, I think we were on our heels again, and then once we settled in, then we got to our game, which was, you could see it tonight.
Yeah, you definitely could. Jordan Martinook as well, just kind of talking about how it was different. After the first 5 minutes in which the Devils were pushing and pressing, then once the Canes, who have a lot of veteran leadership, Brent Burns, by the way, he's a sniper, still a sniper, 38 years old, has a goal in this one. The veteran leadership, the experience, helped them to settle in. And then from that point on, even though they only had one goal in the first period, the Canes created a ton of traffic in front of the net. They were relentless. Really, that attack is vicious once they get the puck in the zone. A lot of times they keep it in the zone. Meanwhile, I think the youth of the Devils has been exposed a little bit. It's great to have 19-year-old Luke Hughes on the ice, and boy, is he fast. I mean, the Devils were already a team that likes to play with pace. You add him into the mix. But these are his first Stanley Cup playoff games. These are his first major shifts in the playoffs. And there were some mistakes. There were some turnovers. And the Canes are a team that will capitalize on their opponent's mistakes. But yeah, it was fun to be there for those first few minutes in which the crowd was going crazy. I will say, though, the crowd thinned out significantly after the second period, and a lot of Devils fans headed for the exit. But I do love the atmosphere for a Stanley Cup playoff game, a Stanley Cup playoff series. It's why I go. It's a chance to see it in person. And as I've said to lots of people in person, but also here on the show, hockey does not translate as well on TV. In person, the speed, the power, the intensity, oh, it's so much better. And so I make an effort to go even more than basketball games, though I do enjoy going to basketball games. But hockey's different in person, so different in person. And the Hurricanes have put themselves in position now, one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Dallas Stars were able to get by the Seattle Kraken in Game 4 of their Western semifinals. Try to get to that series coming up a little bit later on. We're getting ever closer now. Most of these series have two, maybe three games left. Are we going to get a handful of sevens? Seven! Seven! It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, The Hump Show on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights, fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing, help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.